Welcome to the Terrible Podcast with your hosts from thehammerspeaks.com, David Todd, and from SteelersDepot.com, Dave Bryan. Just two Daves talking all the Steelers football you could ever want. And now, here's Dave and Dave.
Welcome to the Terrible Podcast with Dave and Dave, Dave Bryan of SteelersDepot.com, and I'm David Todd from The Hammer Speaks. Dave, Season 2, Show 100, it's appropriate, the day before the draft. Changed our schedule slightly this week, so we're coming at you Wednesday morning, and as we talked about, we'll be back Friday morning with a first-round recap. We'll be back Saturday with a second-round, third-round recap. And then we'll get something out Monday recapping all the day's events. But Season 2, Show 100.
Yeah, and it's an exciting time right now. I think all, you know, I love following mock drafts and doing mock drafts and all, and this is the culmination of it all. I put my final mock draft up late last night, and I'm already kind of going through withdrawals. I never like my mock drafts as soon as I'm done with them, but we'll get into that in a little bit, though. But let's start off first, David, too. You know, we want to thank all the listeners. You know, the Dave Tay podcast, his appearances have gone over just smashingly. We've gotten a lot of great emails in, and I forward a lot of them over. I could spend half a day forwarding them all over to David. But it really makes us feel good to hear from the listeners. You know, that we really don't hear from on a regular basis. And I think I speak for David when I say we appreciate hearing from you guys, you know, good or bad, comments or what have you. So I just wanted to get that out first, David.
Yeah, absolutely. There's no question that it's fun for us. And the reach and the breadth of the podcast it does make us feel good. And we appreciate all the kind words. And we're always open to constructive criticism or sometimes even not so constructive criticism. So keep it coming. As you know, you can always get us on Skype. Dave's at Steelers Depot. I'm at Hammer Speaks. And you can email the podcast as well. So terriblepodcast@gmail.com. So we'll get all the housekeeping out of the way. Dave, everything builds toward the draft. We've talked about it over the course of the offseason. There are 2 days in the offseason that bring the most excitement. The Steelers aren't big participants historically in free agency, so the first day of free agency, while it is a monster day around the league, maybe a little less so for Steeler fans, but the draft is a big day for everybody, and there's no question it is the most important non-game, in-game season type of event they have, and the Steelers have been really, you could say almost wildly successful in the Kevin Colbert area, particularly with their first-round picks. And Kevin Colbert took to the podium yesterday and had a news conference. What, if anything, struck you from his comments yesterday?
Yeah, David, you know, when Kevin Colbert and Mike Tomlin addressed the media, and that was the day before yesterday, you know, that took place on Monday there.
Right.
You never get much out of it. You don't really expect much out of it. And really, you can almost rewrite this every year. I think last year, if memory serves me, he says they have about 200 players from a pool. And this year, I think he said 150 players. So, you know, maybe that number changes. Of course, I might not remember the number exactly. But, you know, they have 10 picks to choose from. You know, an interesting thing, you know, I think he put out there that there are, you know, 7 to 10 surefire first-round selections this year, as he put it. And he said after those players, teams will be taking more of a gamble than in past years. So, you know, that makes you kind of feel like, you know, this is not a very talent-laden draft, especially at the top end. I like how he quoted, he said, need is not the word. The word is want. We want good players, and you know.
Yeah, that's the first time I've heard that from him. I thought that was interesting as well.
Yeah, and you know that kind of goes along with the, you know, kind of the best player available mentality. I guess we've seen this time and time again from Colbert year in year out in his since you know 10,000 since 2000 taking over. And, you know, he says they're still waiting on some late medical and character information. And I want to get into one medical specifically when we get into my mock draft, so don't let me forget that. But, you know, you're not going to get that much wrong. I think he said the least depth in this draft is the fullback, tight end, center, and safety position. I would agree with that just on my look and research over the last couple months. The best numbers, he says, are at wide receiver, cornerback, and he said that at the start of this season in some of the press conferences that he did, and he said that has not changed. So, you know, it kind of gives you – he says they're available for trades up or down. You wouldn't expect anything otherwise out of his mouth there. One thing, you know, that I wish they would do more in these press conferences, David, and, you know that you're not going to get anything out of him. Why not take the opportunity to ask questions about, a Jason Worlds or – a Stevenson Sylvester, where they kind of, you're not going to get a great answer, but a question that you don't ask will never get answered. And this is sometimes where I get angry with the Pittsburgh media is, they almost let Kevin Colbert and Mike Tomlin kind of pull the Jedi mind trick on him. They were probably pleased as punch after their 20 minutes was up to get out of there without giving up any real, what I'd call, information.
Yeah, right. You said it. The Steelers, they're going to address this. A lot of teams now, particularly teams in the 3 through 10 range of the draft, who are going to have to make decisions, when Thursday, and they probably have some information, they put up smoke screens. They want to, maybe trade up or trade down. In a lot of cases here, it sounds like 3 through up to maybe 12 to 15, all these teams would be willing to trade down. The Matt Khalil at 3 to USC seems to have changed to Minnesota, seems to have changed a bit now. The thinking there that he may go to Tampa at 5 if they move. All these different teams are looking at moving around. So we'll see what happens. But the Steelers, in their case, have been less known to obfuscate and put up smoke screens about the different players. They've been pretty straightforward about who they have in to see. With the pre-draft visits, but you certainly don't expect them to give a lot up in terms of names in front of the media on the Monday before the draft. And as you said, maybe it's the opportunity to go in a different direction. Maybe he said, "Look, we're gonna keep questions contained to draft topics." I didn't see the beginning of that, so don't know exactly. But yeah, not a lot of new information. I did think the need and want thing was the most interesting thing to hear them say that coming out of that, but I also think that's a little bit that sounds good. That sounds good, and that's good for consumption for the public. But no question, they understand where they are. I think it was pretty well pointed out in an article by Ed Bouchette today that, look, this team is not very different when it takes a field in the opening game against Denver than the team that played against Denver last year. While the high profile names of Ward and Aaron Smith and Ferrier are going to be gone, and that's certainly some leadership in the locker room. At the end of the day, it's the guys who perform, the guys who are there, who end up being leaders, and guys are going to step up and fill those roles, and Kevin Colbert addressed the leadership issue. But, Dave, I think you and I both, we don't expect to see anybody taken on Thursday, Friday, or Saturday to be in the starting lineup. It wouldn't necessarily be a bad thing if they were, but it's highly unlikely any of these guys are going to be in the starting lineup. And as is almost always the case, these guys are going to contribute on special teams. They'll contribute some more as the season goes on, but you're continuing to lay the depth and the foundation for an organization that has been able to do this year after year after year.
Yeah, I agree. Now, the only position I think you could draft early in the first few rounds that Mike could be able to contribute, in a week one situation would be offensive line. I think that's the easiest position, and we've seen this kind of over the years with the Steelers at times. I would say that we saw it with Pouncey, first-round draft pick, week one starter at center, and he probably would have started at one of the guard spots had he not, beat out the for the center position there. So other than that, I'm with you, especially when you draft linebackers in the 3-4, anything on the defensive side of the ball, cornerback, defensive line, linebacker, safety. those guys are not going to start week one unless it's just, you know, some major injuries type thing. Offensively, you know, wide receiver, unless it just became a unique situation, you wouldn't expect one of those guys to start, nor a tight end. Maybe a running back. Maybe offensive line and running back would be the two positions that I would say would have the best chance of being drafted to start in week one. But offensive line by far would probably be the easiest, in my opinion here. And, you know, Ed Bouchette, speaking of Ed Bouchette, it kind of caught me off guard. Ed knows better than this. I don't know why he did it. Next time we get him on, well, I'm going to have to ask him about this. He called out the name defensive tackle Don Terry Poe, you know, flat out, you know, asking Colbert, you know, about Don Terry Poe specifically. And he got shut down real quick on that by Burt and by Colbert, saying we don't talk about players specifically. So, you know, I don't know if he was just trying to get a reaction to go with maybe some body language or something like that. But I found that kind of interesting, you know, the way that Ed attacked it. I just wish they'd ask better questions, you know. Of course, like I said, when you go into this thing, you're not expecting them to hand out sheets with their draft board on it. But I think you could prod a little bit better over the years.
Yeah, well, we've talked about that. You know, for me, it's even more comical on the Mondays or Tuesdays after the game when, you know, there are real on-the-field issues that can be discussed. But we've been through that. So let's move along. So, well, Dave, let's get into this. Let's get into the draft. I know you spent countless hours, hundreds of hours, looking at tape, sifting through these guys, reading what other people write, making your own conclusions, putting together a mock based on all the stuff you've seen, all the news you hear, and then the Steelers pre-draft visits and the stuff that, you know, that you have access to. So a different guy in the front today. Why don't you take us right into it? Let's go into what you think in round one, and I'll give you some thoughts myself.
Yeah, and please read, when you're on Steelers Depot, please read my recap, my forward, and my recap on the picks. Don't just go straight to the names and then after that go to the comments. I want you to kind of understand my reasoning. If people have seen my mock drafts the last couple of years, it's a progression. And I never fall in love with one player. Even though many people think I was in love with Kobe Planer, I try to attack this thing from different angles at different times. So people will get – and it's amazing, David, how mad people get over these mock drafts, man.
Oh, yeah. It's like it is absolutely amazing.
I mean, the vile comments sometimes I get and all like that, you know, I don't mind you disagreeing with me, but, I mean, at least I had something in the comments other that's stupid or this guy won't fall. You know, these are educated guesses, and anybody outside of an organization, regardless of what, you know, what website you go to or what, they're educated guesses. So,
before we get deep into your stuff, the one mock draft that I would point people to, and I'm sure you saw this, is Greg Cassell from the what is he, NFL Network guy or an NFL.com guy?
Yeah, NFL Films.
NFL Films guy, that's what it is, right? Well, Greg. I like his approach this year. He differentiates himself because I know there's not anybody who watches more film in the country, I think, than him. And what he did is he looked at all these guys and he said, I'm not going to talk about team need. I'm not going to talk about off-the-field issues. I'm going to pick guys with maybe a small nod to team need, but I am going to pick guys who I grade as my board, and I'm going to draft them based on my board. It was interesting, an interesting analysis. So I would encourage people to do that, because when Dave talks about educated guesses, this is what we're talking about. And what he says is, I don't know how anybody's board is ranked. And I'm sure all 32 are ranked differently. And I know you would say exactly the same thing. You don't know how people's boards are ranked. You do know what team needs there are and what the red flags are in certain players. So that's the important thing to understand as background for anybody's who's really doing hard work on this, their mock draft.
Yeah, and to piggyback on top of your Greg Cassell comment real quick, Doug Farrar from Yahoo Sports has had Cosell on for several pre-draft podcasts. I think the last one just came out today, Inside Linebackers. I forget the other position. I haven't listened to it yet. But, yeah, that's some great information. I wish he would have these things about a week earlier, but you get what you get. Who knows what Greg's schedule is like. He's a very busy man. I really value his opinion, too. Like you said, he watches probably 10 times more amount of film than I do, and he's probably able to, and I know for sure he digests the film better than I do. So, but let's get on with my mock here. And let me explain my first pick. I think, you know, after watching everything, looking at the needs and all like that, I believe that the Steelers are hoping Whitney Merciless from Illinois, the outside linebacker slash defensive end, he's going to convert, I think, to a 3-4 linebacker at the next level. I believe that this is a guy that they want to fall down to their first pick, assuming they stay put. They two different sources. One told me that that they privately worked him out. And another one told me that they met with him at the NFL Combine, which is not surprising as they can meet with 60 players there. They, of course, did not have this kid in for a pre-draft visit. I think they're trying to keep his name on the down low. The only thing about Whitney is he's really a one-year producer, junior, just a baby if you look at his age. But, I mean, that one-year production was just incredible. And I really think this could be the guy they hope to fall. Unfortunately, I think the Chicago Bears and Tennessee Titans have their sights on him on the first round. With that being said, I could see Nick Perry being the pick. And the reason I'm going outside linebacker here is...
So let's just, for anybody who might be just hearing us for the first time, give us Nick Perry's USC outside guy. Give us his stats.
Nick Perry ran a 4.58 40. Man, I don't have the, I've got, let's see, 6 foot 2 3/4, weighed 271 pounds, but he had bulked up for the combine because he wanted people to consider him as a defensive end. His three cone time clocked in a little slower than you would like, probably 4.66, but I believe that was because of the extra weight, and all like that. But I mean, off the charts on kind of the other stuff, his explosion rating is tremendous. Did the bench 35 times, 10'4" broad jump, 38.5 vertical leap. Just a good all-around kid. Some great stats when you look what he did sacking the quarterback 9.5 times last year, 21.5 for his career at USC, 51 pressures for his career at USC. So my reasoning behind outside linebacker, David, but let's face it, Harrison, you know, this could be his last year. I'm not going to say it's going to be his last year, but because, I mean, if he comes out, has a 10, you know, eight or 10 sack season, stays healthy, he's signed through 2014. So, you know, there's no guarantees it is his last season. Of course, you got Lamar Woodley on the other side. He's not going anywhere. The big question mark is Jason Worlds. And I attack Jason Worlds from the point of assuming that he's going to stay at outside linebacker. Despite what Dave Tay says, there's just not enough evidence. And from when you look at the Steelers from the depth standpoint at outside linebacker, I'm not believing Chris Carter is anything more than a project right now. You have to, and I'm not convinced they're sold on Worlds going forward. So thus, I attack from the outside linebacker position because we know how important pressuring the quarterback is.
And that's it, Dave, right there. I mean, for this Steelers defense, the way they play, it's predicated on quarterback getting pressure at the quarterback. It's predicated on stopping the run. And those two things are dominant defensive ends and a big, massive nose tackle and pressure primarily coming from the outside from these two guys on the edges. And that's what makes this defense so good. So, we've seen them go two of the past 3 years to defensive ends, and there's no question the book is still out on Hayward and Ziggy Hood, but they have addressed those positions. And they've got two guys, Woodley signing a longer contract when he did, would expect to be, you know, at an age 26 or 27, whatever he is. You expect Woodley to be around 3 or 4 more years at a minimum. James Harrison in his 30s, making a lot of money. There's an issue there where if they got a guy this year, that would free up tons of cap space if they were able to move on from that position, or if for whatever reason he's unproductive or injured or whatever it is. Obviously, that's not what any of us want to have happen. But it's if you're going to build your defense around that, you have to have guys who are viable to step into those positions. And from what we've seen, I don't know that they can rely on Jason Worlds or Chris Carter being those guys at this point in time. So a pick like Nick Perry would certainly address that. It would also tell us, as any pick is going to tell us something, but it will tell us something about where they see their outside depth and what maybe they think of those two guys in the future.
I couldn't agree more. And people think, I am down on, you know, people want to point to inside linebacker. It's an easy position to point to with Ferrier gone now. I just don't think they have given up on Stevenson Sylvester yet. There's not enough tape to really make a good, for us people on the outside, for us to make a good solid decision on. I think he better suits as a Mac linebacker, as I've said before, more of a Lawrence Timmons type playmaker instead of a Buck, but I think they think differently. Dante Hightower is an easy pick. The kid is a good character kid, knows the 3-4, crash linebacker inside. I just worry about that lateral agility, David, and his ability to drop, and that's the biggest question mark surrounding him. 260-something pounds, that worries the crap out of me. I'm not going to say that he's not going to be the pick. He's one of the guys I considered here. And let me tell you a few other names. If Perry and Whitney Mercilus are off the board, I could see an instance where the Steelers might trade down a couple spots in round one if they still thought they could get a player like Andre Branch, another outside linebacker. Or here's another name, and this is not going to catch many of our listeners off guard. Shane McClellan out of Boise State has been he has been screaming up the draft boards after his pro day. This kid could be the real deal. He could go in the first round. I guess you could just say I didn't have the cojones to pull the trigger on him, but it would not be surprising to see this kid be the pick, Andre Branch either. Now, they did not have McClellan in for a pre-draft visit. They did have Branch in for a pre-draft visit. So the other names I considered here, of course, Cordy Glenn, who you know I'm not high on, David. Mark Barron, if he drops. Don Terry Poe, man, I'm just not seeing the production on tape. He seems to me like a combine wonder right now. I've gave my thoughts on previous podcasts on him. Kobe Fleener, of course, I had to consider him there. And Stephen Hill, the wide receiver, I had to consider as well.
Yeah, and we'll just go back and say that, both you and I have talked about David DeCastro and Mark Barron. If they're guys who fall, it would seem to be unlikely that either of those guys fall to 24. Another name of a guy who's flying up the draft board, so I know you like, is Kevin Zeitler. Jim Wetzel does some interesting work, and he had some interesting ideas. The idea of maybe moving down in the first round and taking Zeitler at the end of the first round or top of the second round. And then he wanted to move up and take Levante David out of Nebraska, the linebacker who Dave Tate Thomas talked about, really raved about, I have to say, move up in the second round. That would be a scenario. So, Dave, when you go from there, let's go into your second round pick. Because, I know there were lots of guys you were looking at here, and maybe even it's a more interesting pick because, as we were talking about, as you had said at the top of the draft, you have maybe these 7 to 10 players that we're all comfortable they're going to be off the board. Maybe they're perceived as being the elite players in the draft as much as, people can grade that specifically. But then when you get into the latter half of the first round, the second round, the third round, maybe it's really much more difficult to differentiate between the talent. And obviously, it becomes much more difficult to pinpoint names. And as we talked about, you were extraordinarily successful at pinpointing names that the Steelers would be interested in, hitting both the second and third round guys in the other order. But let's now talk about where you went after Nick Perry in the first.
Yeah, I'm not high on those tackles that could fall, in that first round there. So, thus, I think the bigger need is a guard who has some position flexibility to play tackle. I've been high on Brandon Brooks for a while now, and I think the Steelers, I think on their draft board, if it was me, I think I would have a Mini Sitatalu ranked higher than Brandon Brooks. That kid is nasty, as I've said several times, a left tackle that projects as a left guard at the next level here. If that kid falls down to them at the second round, to me, that's the pick. But I just don't think that's going to be the case. In fact, some news came out from Tony Pauline this morning that the Jets flew out to privately work this kid out. So I could see – I just don't see him making it down to 24. So I think if Brandon Brooks is there, the kid out of Miami of Ohio, he was a combine snub we've discussed before, 4.99, 40-yard dash, 4.58, 20-yard shuttle, bench press 225 36 times, mammoth 10-inch hands, 33.5-inch arm length. To me, this guy is a Steeler, and he can – You know, he played left guard at the East-West Shrine game during his college career. He played left tackle, left guard, and right and right guard, showed his position flexibility. But at the East-West Shrine game is really, you know, where I think he really showed he can compete against that talent coming out of that small school in Miami of Ohio. Gets off his blocks well. Great getting to the second level, in my opinion. Has a great, good first punch. I've kind of broke him down more in depth here on the site with some of his knockdown. 287 knockdown blocks and 47 touchdown resulting blocks during his career. 35 of those were for the ground game, which is an impressive figure. So to me, I really like this kid all along. And I think he very well could be the pick with the, you know, assuming he falls to the second round there.
You talked about having Amini Silatalu maybe ahead of him in your book or on your board. Do you think Bobby Massey, would you put him ahead of him?
I would put Bobby Massey ahead of both of them. You know, if he falls, great. You know, I think Bobby Massey is one. I think there's a lot of value with him if he falls to 224. So hard to judge, David, with some of these guys that come screaming up the draft board, you know, like they do. Just, you know, where were they at the beginning, you know?
Right.
But I mean,
because there's no new tape.
Right. There's no new tape. And, I mean, hey, I've made my thoughts known on Massey. I think he has all the measurables. There's just minor things in his pass protection that I kind of worry about that I think can be corrected. But, yeah, I would have him probably rated, because he does play tackle, I would have him rated higher. If he fell at 224, I could see him being definitely being the pick.
Right. And a couple other guys you had that you did have on your list. You had Levante David. A couple guys that maybe people, Derek Wolf, we've talked about, you were hiring him really early on out of Cincinnati, right? The
Right, he's a defensive tackle that converts to a 3-4-5 technique defensive end at the next level. The Steelers had him in for a pre-draft visit. Impressive kid. I think there is some interest there, and I think you know, depending on who you talk to, he could go at the end of the first round or into the second round, I believe. So that could be an option as well, too. If you name, go ahead.
We know that they had Mitchell Schwartz, the Steelers, head in to visit. There are a couple guys, Harrison Smith, the safety out of Notre Dame, is another guy that you have on your list. I guess two guys that maybe we haven't discussed much of that you might want to just talk real briefly about would be Bobby Wagner and Dwayne Allen.
Bobby Wagner, I'm kind of confused on him. You know, I think he fits inside, but he might be a better Mac linebacker than a Buck linebacker. I don't know. He could probably do both. Some people think he might be better for a 4-3 outside or a 4-3 inside. Just kind of hard to gauge that kid. He's the one that was not be able to go at the combine.
Yeah, he's out of Utah State. Kind of, you know, he's not a tall guy. He's kind of 6 foot, six and a quarter, 240. But as you said, he's probably seen as a, you know, some people think he's the second or third best outside backer in the draft.
Yeah, and looking at some of the measurables that Dave Tay passed along on him, 4.68 in the 40-yard dash, which is about the same time that Dante Hightower ran. But he did have a much better 20-yard shuttle, 4.28. That shows you he definitely has the agility.
That's funny because I saw Wagner having a 4.46 somewhere. So I don't know. You know, I'll double check so we can double check back on that. But I've seen him as having much better numbers than that.
Well, you got to remember he didn't. This is Dave Tay's numbers. So
yep.
You know. You're gonna get different numbers on him. Another number I saw on him was 4.54 in the 40. So, you know, I guess it depends where he ran and then who was timing him there. So, you know, he definitely could be a possibility. That's why I put him on there and didn't rule him out, you know, totally. But, you know, if they go linebacker in the first round,
they're not taking. I'm very unlikely to take two linebackers. Possible, but unlikely.
Yeah, I would say so.
All right, well, let's move along from there. Without further ado, a guy that you got on very early. We know the Steelers had a bunch of guys up at Michigan at the Pro Day, Mike Martin. Again, he's a guy who profiles. He's a little bit of a shorter guy, but as a guy who was very productive in college And again, as we looked at, we've talked about all these nose tackles, and very few guys kind of fit the mold as a pure kind of, you know, zero technique or a one technique or whatever, however exactly you want to call it. Martin's a guy who maybe fits that role as well as anybody, but maybe just not as doesn't have as much raw talent as some of the other guys.
Yeah, and Mike Martin from Michigan, a guy I struggled with early on in brief tape selection. I didn't see a lot of in kind of the tape that I watched early on. I didn't see a lot of two gap, you know, handling two you know double teams and all like that early on. I saw him initially more as a one gap defensive tackle, but the more I went back and watched on him, this guy can play up and down the line. I mean, 0, 1, 2, 3, 4, and even some 5 at times, which lets you know that this is a guy that doesn't have to come off the field necessarily in certain situations. If you need to rotate out maybe a defensive end because of long drives or something like that, this is a guy I think that could play up and down the line. But I think especially he's gained some weight too, evidently, since the combine, right around probably the 315 stage right now. The Steelers, when they worked him out, he's done several interviews, and he said he keeps saying the Steelers have tremendous interest in him. In fact, the Steelers have called him quite a bit since the combine and since his pro day. Did a private workout for them, I think, at his pro day. So he is an intriguing kid, 4.9240, 32.5-inch vertical to go with 32.25-inch arms, bench press 36 times, 225. Really, really quick guy, never gives up on a play. You don't find him on the ground too much. Well, here's why I battled with this pick, David. My heart was telling me to go with Josh Chapman out of Alabama, who just incredible fire plug right in the center there. But my gut was telling me go to Mike Martin. Now, since I put my mock draft up even last night, Lance Zierlein, son of Larry Zierlein, former Steelers offensive line coach, says he's been told that there's been another medical red flag pop back up on Chapman with that knee. So we don't know. Who knows? I mean, this type of crap comes out right before the draft.
Yeah, I saw some of that stuff too. And I, you know, there was somebody was talking last night on Twitter about just saying, is there a red flag because of the knee? And I think some of what went around last night was one guy speculating and other guys jumping on it and not really understanding that he was asking a question rather than giving an answer. So I don't know how much weight to put in that, but yeah, I did see some of that conversation.
And Zierlein, I mean, if anybody would kind of have an inside, it would be Lance. I mean, he's got some connections around the NFL. Now, there was also, I saw online a letter from Dr. James Andrews, who performed that surgery, basically saying, look, I rechecked Josh Chapman, and he's going to be fine by the start of training camp. So I don't know if a team has found something since then in some of the medicals. Don't know if this is just trying to drive his stock down even more. But there are question marks there with him. The kid is incredible talent, without a doubt. It would not hurt my feelings either way if Josh Chapman or Mike Martin was the pick here. People always want to keep saying, well, I read this on Mike Martin or I read that on Mike Martin. I could go through every damn list of guys that I kind of previewed, for in my research, and I could pull out 20 things on each guy that they need to improve on, probably from what initially I see on game tape. And this is not coach's tape, mind you. But, you know, to me, Martin, his size, what he does, the character that he has, I really could see him in black and gold, David. Lamar Woodley's been pushing hard for him, too, former University of Michigan guy himself, and I like him.
Dave, and so just so we can set up where we are, the draft, the first round is Thursday night. That'll take place starting at 8 o'clock, and that's going to be broadcast. And they'll only do one round Thursday night, so the Steelers will get a chance to see who's gone. Again, obviously, they're not going to pick till 2:24 unless they make a move. But, you know, people will reevaluate who's on the board, who went, different ideas of who wants to make moves at the top of the draft. Then Friday, we'll have that second and third round. And again, that goes will run from 7 to 11 or 12. And that, again, will give the Steelers a chance to step back. And day three, let's not discount day three, which is where we are in your mock now, because the Steelers are going to have a lot of picks to make. They're going to have, if they make no trades, they're going to have 7 picks to make. And maybe, I don't know if you want to just roll through the names of the picks you have up on your board here, but a lot of different things. And we talked about filling needs, Having guys come in that you don't have to go out and sign as unrestricted free agents, maybe picking some special teams guys, including a punter and a kicker. So I don't know if you want to roll through how you did this and the names of the guys you picked.
Yeah, I'll go through them quickly here. You can read more of a recap on them, of course, on SteelersDepot.com. Ronnie Hillman in the fourth round, running back, a very young kid out of San Diego State. Great 40 time. To me, this is a guy, if you miss out on the Isaiah Pete, on a Michael James, on a Lamar Miller, you know, all those kind of guys that I expect to be off the board in round three when they pick, I think you can get good value with Ronnie Hillman. I think he's a guy that could become a change of pace, kind of a complimentary back initially. I'm not sure if he's going to be an every down type back, but definitely has speed, has big play ability too on tape, some of these big explosive plays that you see. Keith Tandy, a guy they had in for a pre-draft visit. I think Mike Tomlin is all over this kid. He kind of lacks the elite size for a corner. I think he projects more as a nickel, package type guy kid at the next level. Not afraid to hit it all. This kid will not shy away from contact. There's also some talk that, you know, maybe he'd be a candidate to convert to free safety because of his abilities and all like that. Typical kind of late round guy. He's a playmaker too. I think he led the team with four interceptions in 2011. He registered 64 tackles for them last year alone. Kid not afraid to hit. Fun to watch on tape if you get a chance to go pull up some tape on him. In the sixth round is a guy that Dave Tate kind of turned me on to, tight end Derek Carrier out of Benoit, small college. This kid was a wide receiver, David. He projects as kind of the Aaron Hernandez of this draft, kind of a move tight end. He's not going to be a guy that's going to be an inline tight end. Great route running, just small school guy. I don't know how much to sell you on him because I haven't watched a lot of tape on him, to be honest. Runs a great 40, 4.5-1, would be a move tight end, as I said. Great leaping ability. To me, Todd Haley needs kind of a move tight end. Kind of a poor man's Kobe Fleener, if you will. Dave Tate turned me on to him. I said, hey, round six might be a perfect guy for this guy who really impressed people when he showed up at the Wisconsin Pro Day. Round seven, another kid that I really found by doing research on Mike Martin, another Michigan kid, Ryan Van Bergen. This kid, I think, played defensive tackle, played some defensive end for him, projects as a 3-4-5 technique at the next level. I think the Steelers could use some depth. Hey, you never know. They're good at finding these late-round defensive end guys. This guy kind of, when you see him with his beard, too, I hate to make the comparison because it's unfair to both sides, but kind of a Brett Kiesel, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
The more you kind of watch him with those long arms, 32 and 7/8 inch arms, quick kid, good-natured kid, gives a great interview, really productive, I thought, at Michigan, can play the 3 and the 4 and the 5.
Dave, I'm going to stop you. This isn't going to be breaking news for the people who are listening to it, but it's breaking news for us, and it's very interesting. The Broncos just traded to move up two picks in front of the Steelers. They just traded to go from 25 to 23. I'm wrong. I'm sorry, I'm misreading this, so you can just cut that right out. It's Sig Bloom talking about his inside draft. Sorry. I was like, oh, 25 to 23 in the draft. That's huge news.
Any trade, hey, let's not rule that happening on draft day. And Sigmund Bloom, too, from footballguys.com. Great guy to follow on Twitter, as is Cecil Lammy, who we've had on the podcast before as well, too. So, yeah, I think they're putting together some type of a blog.
These guys, I'm looking here. All of a sudden, it's affecting the Steelers. I was like, wow, somebody they want. All right. Anyway.
But anyway, Ryan Van Bergen out of Michigan. Great. I think he'd make a great choice as a seventh round pick if he falls that far, because I think that, you know, he could be kind of a sixth round guy too. But John Mitchell could probably do wonders with him. The Steelers could use some more depth with Brett Kiesel winding down his career in Pittsburgh. Round seven, finally addressed the wide receiver position here, David, with Tony Clemens, a kid, a local boy that they had in for a visit out of Colorado. He was a Michigan transfer. A neat little connection here, David. He is the cousin of Steve Breston, who played, of course, at Arizona and Kansas City with Todd Haley. So you can kind of see the connection there. What impressed me most about Clemens, a physical guy, high points the ball real well, kind of the anti-Mike Wallace as far as going up for the ball, strong hands, average route runner. Even in that Colorado poor offense, he managed to score 8 touchdowns and averaged almost 16 yards per catch on 43 catches last season. Smart kid, seems to be a good character kid. And my motto, David, in these late rounds is when in doubt, go with a guy that's come in for a pre-draft visit. I don't think you can go wrong there. I you know, like I said, at the end of each pick, I noticed some guys I considered each round. Next guy, another 7th round pick, Jeremy Jones, that small school Wayne State kid who they had in for a pre-draft visit. Boy, a thick-built, undersized corner who's played some safety. Watch this. He's like a Keith Candy out of West Virginia there. Not afraid to hit at all. A big playmaker on film. 106 tackles in 2011, David. Nearly 300 for his career at small school Wayne State. In the 46 games he played in, he totaled 17 interceptions. I could see this guy being moved, getting time to see if he could adapt to the strong safety position, possibly backing up Troy Polamalu this year. So watch this kid. Would be a great special teams player as well, 4.58, 40-yard dash reportedly. So keep your eye. If the Steelers don't take him, keep your eye where that kid goes, Jeremy Jones out of Wayne State. Round 7, another kid. Hey, when in doubt, David, go with the pre-draft visitors. Jarrell Harris out of Alabama. This guy played inside and outside. Played inside before Dante Hightower ran him out of his job. Switched out the outside. Good special teams player. Kind of a gangly looking. He looks all limbs on film. To me, he drops better than Hightower. So to make what of that, well, you know, what you will there. And those are the 3-4 system. Smart kid. Could end up being a practice squad candidate initially. But, hey, you know, I needed somebody to throw in there in the Steelers' final pick of the draft. So that recaps my 10 picks for the Steelers 2012 mock draft. Welcome to all comments and suggestions and gripes and all like that.
Yeah, Dave, well, I'll tell you, just to be on record here, I'm going to go with the Steelers. Actually, I've come full circle on this, and I'm going to go with Dontari Poe as their first-round pick. We've talked about his lack of production in college. If the Steelers really think he's as athletic as he appears to be, I think they feel comfortable with the leadership on the defensive line, having Casey Hampton there, having Brett Kiesel there, having other guys in place. That if he graded out as well as they thought, that I think they'll go that way. And then I'll say if they do go that way and don't take a linebacker in the first two rounds, they go Michael Kendricks or they go Lavonte David if he's on the board. Unlikely, I think, to be there that late in the second. But those are the two guys that I think we'll see. As always, you know, we caveat all these drafts because one of the reasons you do the other teams is – so you know who's left on the board. Certainly, if I think of a guy like Barron or DeCastro or there in the first round, that may trump anything else. But that's who I'll go on record with as the Steelers taken with their first two picks.
All right, so you had Lavonte David and Dontari Poe.
I'll say David if he's there, but I'm going to assume he's not there, and I'll say Michael Kendricks, the linebacker from California.
Okay. All right. They're definitely justified there. You know, we've talked about Poe to death. I could see that happening. You know, he's a raw piece of clay. You know, I think he'd be a guy that might be able to contribute at the end of year one, but maybe more along the lines of year two. John Mitchell would have fun with him, but definitely could. You know, I'm not going to say that you're crazy for going that way. You know, who can say who's crazy right now? Every mock draft is right now.
Yeah, well, and as you said, look, in the bigger picture, guys like Shea McClellan, Chandler Jones, the defensive end from Syracuse, they weren't in the conversation 3 weeks ago, and now people have them going in, you know, picks 15 through 20. Stephen Gilmore's stock is gaining again. The cornerback for South Carolina, some people project him as high as 7. As we said, Matt Khalil, who was a lock at 3, now looks like he may go 5 or 6. Tannehill's all over the board, well, depending on who you speak to. And, of course, we talked about guys like Janoris Jenkins, who could go anywhere. Local people have an interest in Devin Still out of Penn State. I'll be on the air with Tom Bradley for some of the draft coverage, and we'll get his insights there. For those of you who are listening on Steeler Nation and ESPN 970, I will be on from 10 o'clock to the end of round one with Craig Wolfley and Rob King. So we'll be on the air when the Steelers make their pick for the first round. For the second round, I'll be on from 8 to 10 with Mike Prisuta and Tom Bradley, formerly of Penn State. So we'll certainly, I think, get the Steelers' second-round pick live on Friday while I'm on the air. And then Saturday, I'll be on from 4 to the end of the draft. So you can catch all the recap stuff and a bunch of names that, you know, I'm sure are going to surprise all of us. And there'll be names that we've never heard of or won't have a lot to say about. But we'll do our best to bring it to you from the Steeler headquarters all 3 days.
And I'll be on with Michael Graw on Trib Live Radio both Thursday and Friday at, I believe, at 2:30 p.m. to talk about kind of some, you know, what's happened at, leading into the draft, kind of a recap probably what you hear on today's show, and Friday probably talking about the first-round draft pick as well there. So that's where you can catch me and David. As always, man, listeners, we are just floored by the emails and all that we've gotten from you guys. We're sorry we haven't gotten to a lot of emails, but we promise after the draft that we're going to start going through some of these things. We've had some great emails concerning people mad at Mike Wallace and all like that, and all of it's justified. We love hearing from you, even if it's just to say that show sucked or whatever, you know. It lets us know our reach out there, and it really is good. We're going to try to have Dave Tay back on after the draft as well, too. Stop emailing Dave Tay. That guy sent me a few emails mad now. I don't think he was
didn't know he's going to get 1,000 emails.
Yeah, this guy said, please stop. Email me instead, admin@SteelersDepot.com or theterriblepodcast@gmail.com if you want that package before the draft. Do it today so I can get that sent out to you in email as well. So,
all right. Well, great stuff as always, Dave. Super work on the draft prep, getting everybody fully up to speed, including me. Of course, you know, I think a lot of people are familiar with the top 50 names, but you're a guy who's familiar with the top 150 names or 200 names. So great stuff. Great work today. Dave and I will be back at you Friday morning. The podcast will probably be up early afternoon, but we'll recap the first round, give you our thoughts on where the Steelers will go now that we've seen 32 names taken. So as always, thanks for listening to the Terrible Podcast with Dave and Dave.